Good morning, church. Yesterday I got out of work like at 9-ish, 10-ish.
Something.
So we were going home and we were craving. We were kind of hungry. So we're like, let's just have a date night outside. So we were actually going home. We were about to get home and then we just turned around and we went to Yogurtland. It was really good. But... So we were coming, we were going on our way back home, and I was on a street, it's a Vernon, it's a, you don't go that fast in that street. I was about 30 miles per hour, and all of a sudden I see a car coming on the left side. He was probably going 40 to 50 miles per hour. He hit us. So all I could do, he didn't give me like, it was like half a second that I had to react. I couldn't brake. He hit me on the side, on my side of the door, and all I could see is us rolling around in the car. So we rolled around 2.5 times, but it's the car is wrecked. Thank God we're here. I'm praising the Lord today because if it weren't for him, I don't know what it would be about us. We were talking about it. I mean, we were conscious the whole time when we were upside down. We were with our seatbelts, and it was like, okay, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, we're okay. We really felt like we were in a bubble, and we felt like God protected us. It was amazing. I remember just us rolling around, and we literally were in a bubble. Like, God, I really felt like he was protecting us. The only thing I have is a scratch on my elbow. That's the only thing I have. And from there on, we were there for a few minutes. Then people came, asked if we were okay. We were okay. We said yes. They called the cops, came over here, and the cops were amazed because they saw how the car was and how fast that person hit us. He was under DUI. And they were just like the firemen. They were like, are you guys seriously okay? Do you have something hurt? I'm like, no, we're totally okay. We got out of the car walking. We sat on the side and we're like, we're okay. And the first thing we said, I remember while we were upside down, are you okay? Are you okay? Yes. Thank God. Thank God. Yeah, we were upside down. So the firemen had to come and cut our seatbelts for us to get out of the car. Yeah, it was amazing, and I praise the Lord. I praise God, because sometimes we think so many people have problems, and you take everything for granted until something like this happens, and you see your life flash. Like, wow, like, thank God. I am here thanks to God, and I praise him, and oh my gosh, I'm just so grateful for him, and all I felt was like, I don't care. I just want to do the sermon tomorrow. I just want to praise the Lord because I feel great, because I'm okay thanks to him. And especially us talking about the book of Job, which he went through so many tribulations, so many problems, and be like, hey, I'm here. We may be a vehicle short, but we're here. I mean, it's, yeah.
Better give him a good deal after this.
But thank God. That was what happened. So basically, all the front part of the other car was like squashed, and he didn't get out of the car until the cops came. So it was like 10 minutes of him just being in the car. Apparently, he was repetitive in DUI, because that's what the cops told us later on when they went to our home. Because they were amazed, because they went to visit us to the hospital, and we were no longer there because we were discharged in like an hour from the moment we got there. Like, you guys are good. You guys are good to go. We're like, thank God. Yeah, so I would like to close this part in prayer. Just thanking for this morning and for everyone being here. Can you close your eyes, please? You want to say something?
Sure. Hi, guys. I would just like to say that I learned a few lessons last night. That it's very difficult to accept when bad things happen to you. It's very difficult to not ask What if we just stayed home? We were home, and I just really wanted Yogurtland. And I begged my husband, babe, can we please go get Yogurtland? He's like, okay, let's go. I was thinking many times, what if we just stayed home? What if I didn't have those stupid cravings? But, you know, it's very difficult to not ask that. It's very difficult to not think, what if, what if, what if? What if this, what if that? What if we took longer eating? What if? You can go on and on with the list. But it does you no good. And it's not the point. And what about him, you know, what if he didn't go out? What if he didn't drink? It doesn't matter. The fact is that it happened, and God saved us. And I feel in my heart that his plans are greater, and he needed us to go through this. And I feel, because now, you guys now have two very strong testimonies about God's grace, and about how powerful he is. And I had a dream last night. Miraculously, I was able to sleep. I didn't think I would. But for a few hours, I did. And I had a dream that the devil was trying to hurt us. That it was his intention to hurt us. And I just screamed to the top of my lungs, God will save us. God will protect us. He is here. In other words, kind of, I don't know, taunting. But just going up in his face and saying, you know what? You can't touch us. Because you are under God. God has almighty control over everything, including you. You can try to hit, but you won't. If it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. We felt like we were in a bubble. We felt flipping, but we both felt, I mean, we have no scratches. We just have bumps and bruises. It's so many people were shocked. The doctors were shocked. The firefighters, the ambulance, the paramedics, the police, most of all the police, because they saw that guy was going more than 50 miles per hour. There's no way he was going more than 50, for sure. For his little sedan to flip over my compact SUV 2.5 times, that guy was flying. So we were actually thinking, if we weren't there, that guy would have probably not have survived. So for whatever reason this happened, and you can't ponder over, you know, how dare he? It was a repetitive DUI situation. This guy has done this before. You can't think, well, you can't be angry. You know what? I tried to be. I'm not going to lie. When they told us, like, oh yeah, this was a DUI situation, I tried to be mad. I tried to be angry, and I tried to be like, how dare you, and, you know, curse your name, whatever. I tried and I couldn't. I really couldn't. I felt it in my heart. I was at peace. And it's something I can't really, I can't believe it. Right now I'm telling you guys, with all the peace and the calm in the world, that I really felt peace. I tried to be mad and I couldn't. We prayed for him last night. We said, God, please have mercy on his soul, and I hope he's okay. Wow. And he's in jail now. You know, whatever that side is, that side. All I know is that God protected us, and we are living proof that he exists, and that we were protected by his lovely little bubble in that car. And it's just a miracle, absolute miracle, for us to be able to walk like nothing. We said, like, we've felt worse going to the gym. This is nothing for us. Leg day at the gym is worse than how we feel right now. I mean, I have one little Band-Aid, guys. That's it. So I'm wearing high heels, which means we're good. No one can stop me wearing my high heels. And my honey and I were joking at the accident scene. We were joking. Everyone was kind of laughing with us, kind of like, how are they joking right now? Okay. I was saying, like, I thought I had a bloody nose, so I'm all freaking out because I felt dripping coming from my nose when we were upside down. Dripping, and I'm like, oh babe, my first bloody nose. He turns on the light, since we were upside down, he turned on the light in the car on the floor. It was yogurt on my face. Then I go, oh, my nose, it's broken, it's bleeding. He's like, it's chocolate yogurt on your face. I had Nutella in my yogurt, had Nutella all over me. And I'm like, that would be me in an accident with Nutella all over me. there goes my husband, babe, it's just yogurt on your face. And then I thought, if I broke my nose, can I get a nose job and make him smaller? Like, can I take advantage of that moment? But no, I did not have a broken nose, thank God. So with jokes aside, God exists. And you need to keep going. We weren't scared to get in a car today. Usually you have a traumatic experience and you kind of don't want to be in a car for a few days. I didn't want to be in a car for a few days when someone hit me from behind. It wasn't even that graphic of a situation, but I was nervous to get in the car. And after this, we were peachy. So it's incredible. But what I just wanted to share was a Bible verse, my favorite Bible verse, and it's in front of my journal. It's Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure you guys know this one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So this happened for a reason, and we're okay. And we're going to move forward. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
If everyone can please close your eyes, and I'm going to do a prayer. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the presence of every single person here. Thank you for your presence in every one of our lives, because we know you promised to be with us in every single day, and you will protect us no matter what circumstances we're going through, because you are a holy God, because you are our Father. I praise you, and I love you, dear Lord. And even though we know that if we live, we live for Christ, and we die to see Christ, we still thank you, dear Lord. I thank you for having me here for life, with life, and my wife. I thank you for every single person that's here, and I ask you to bless them and to protect them in every single situation. Please guide every single person, and please protect us from people that really are not cautious in what they do in every single day, dear Lord. Just protect us, because we know we are in your presence in every single day and every single minute of our lives. From here on, dear Lord, I ask you to fill my heart with your spirit, for me and you to use me, dear Lord, for I am just an instrument of yours. Praise you for everything I say. I ask you to put your words in my mouth so that I can speak to your church, dear Lord. We stand here in your presence, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
He's risen!
Yes. So first I would like to put a narrative of Job 29, please. This is the testimony that's further on. Please, thank you, sorry. Just a narrative of Job 29, please. Thank you so much.
Job continued his discourse. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone on my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil, when I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square, the young men saw me and stepped aside, and the old men rose to their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. The voices of the nobles were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me, and those who saw me commended me, because I rescued the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to assist them. The one who was dying blessed me. I made the widow's heart sing. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. I thought, I will die in my own house. My days as numerous as the grains of sand. My roots will reach to the water, and the dew will lie all night on my branches. My glory will not fade. The bow will be ever new in my hand. People listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers, and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners. Chapter 30.
Thank you. So here we see Job saying all the things that he was before he went through tribulations. And there are four factors that were really important for him. Number one was the confidence he had in the divine protection. And I'm not sure if everyone has that confidence, because sometimes when you go through problems, when you go through different situations, you tend to think, what can I do for it? What can I do to actually solve this problem? And from there on, you just forget that you are under his divine protection. I went through it yesterday. I am under his divine protection. And all of you guys are here under his divine protection. Nothing that he will allow can happen to you. You are untouchable to Satan. He may touch our health, but our soul, our heart is his. No matter what situation you go through, you are with the divine protection of God. And that means, so having the divine protection doesn't mean that we won't have any problems. It's really difficult sometimes when you show another person that being a Christian is so amazing, and they think that it's having no problems when it's totally the opposite. I felt like sometimes I've been more tempted, I have more tribulations after being a Christian, but it's more because you tend to do things right. You tend to manage yourself and do the things that you do the way God intends you to do it, and that's just going against this world, because they want to do it their way. So you will go through tribulations, you will go through problems, but have in mind, you will always be with God. We are under his divine protection, no matter what situation you go through, no matter what problem, as his word says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He will be with us. If you're in sickness, if you face a death of someone you know, you are with him. You are with his divine protection. And that is the greatest thing that I think we can have in our lives. Because sometimes we tend to think that the biggest things are like our material things, a vehicle, a nice house, when sometimes we don't appreciate what his presence is in our life. And I think that's really sad, because sometimes we pray about him providing for us and everything, and we don't pray for his presence in our lives to abound. So we have to set priorities. And I think for him to be with us every single day is more important than the things he gives to us. That was the first point. The second was the enjoyment he had in the divine favor. It's really easy when everything is going correctly, when everything is peachy, like my wife says, to be with God. I mean, I have everything I need. My circumstances are perfect. I have no problems. Praise God. But what happens when everything gets taken away? When everything is not there anymore? When, I don't know, when someone dies? When you lose all you have? And I had I read this story once, that a teacher would have a jar, and in that jar he would put golf balls. And he would ask his students, is this a jar full? And they would say yes. But after that, he would put rice in it. And the rice would occupy the empty spots that the golf balls would leave. And then he asked again, is this full? And this time they said, of course, yeah, it is full. And then he poured water in it. And now the water occupied all the empty spaces that the rice and the golf balls didn't use. And then he asked again, is this full? And that time they said yes. The golf balls in that jar represent what God gives you, God's presence in your life. You take everything away, and you're still full. You don't need the other things. Like his words say, seek his presence first, and everything shall be added, because his presence is first. And we have to put that in our lives always, no matter what. And we see that Job did that. Job seek God's presence. He had everything he wanted. He had everything more than he needed. But he was always trying to make things right. Because, for example, he was worried if his kids would sin and he would do sacrifices for God to forgive them. Seeking his presence for his kids first. Not the blessings that they have, not the studies, but the presence of God in their lives. That's what Job did. So he enjoyed the divine favor of God. But how do we do it when everything else is out? Like Psalm 73, let me check. Like Psalm 73 says in verse 25. Whom I am in heaven, but do I have in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. That's a really powerful verse. But you have to be careful when you say that. Because when you say that, you're actually saying, you know what, God, I only want you. But what if tomorrow God takes everything away? Like, okay, you want only me? I want to see that. That's when it's not only words. So when you say it, you have to mean it. And trust me, thank God I've never lost everything I had. But all I've always wanted is presence in our life. Because what can you do? I mean, you have so many things in your life. You have his favor. But sometimes with those things in our lives, we don't have the peace. And we see so many rich people that actually commit suicide having everything and more than they need. It's because that doesn't fulfill you. So having the divine favor of God is not only for you to be happy with what he provides for you, but for actually seeking more of his presence. Because his favor is not only the material things he does for you or he gives you. So love God in every single situation you go through. And you will find the true comfort and what it actually means. And his peace that overpasses every understanding. Because you can't explain that. And I have that in my life. It's amazing. No matter what you go through. We went through an accident and I have this peace. My wife was so amazed yesterday. She was like, how are you so okay? Like, she was crying. And I'm like, because I have his peace. I mean, I saw him today. How can you cry? How can you, oh my gosh, I was like such in peace because I actually felt him. I still have in my mind what we were rolling. And it was like she said, we were in a bubble. He was protecting us. I felt his presence there. I have a scratch, a single scratch after the vehicle got towed. It's like, oh my gosh, that's the divine favor also. That's having his divine favor. And I thank God for that. And it's really important how Job says, I like that part where he says, shall we receive good from God? And shall we not receive evil? How many times have we had our parents when we were growing up and we would do dumb things and then we would get grounded? Did that make our parents bad? Or did that make them just? That's what God does to us. He tries to let us walk and sometimes we fall. But when we fall, it's so that we can get strength on our hands to get up again and start walking again. So, and I don't think that God, because God didn't give him evil, he just allowed Satan to actually touch him, to be proud. And it's amazing because I just dream one day for God to be like, hey, have you seen every single person in Gateway? Man, they really love me. Can you imagine for him to say that about us? Like, oh my gosh, they are amazing. They really follow me. And be like, Satan, you can't do anything against them. Get them in a car accident, they will still praise my name. Give them a disease, they will still be in church praising me because they know who I am and they know what I can do in their lives. You have no control over them. What can Satan do against that? He can't do anything, for we are his children. The third point is going to be the communion he had with the divine word. And I think it's really important because before I became a Christian, what made me fall in love with God was actually to know what he wants about us, what he needs, what he is, who he is, and what he wants. And the only thing you can do that is actually by reading the Bible. You can't do that if you open the Bible once a week on a Sunday. That's why I like to have a book sometimes, because you carry a book, and I was like, oh, look, he's carrying a Bible. Like, yeah, I'm carrying a Bible because I want to study it, because I want to read it, not only because I want to, hey, I'm Christian. No, because that intends, hey, I have a Bible, everyone's, I have to read it. On my cell phone, I mean, I have so many apps on my cell phone that I just forget that I have, like, a small app of a Bible, and then I have, like, video games all over the place. It's like, okay, the majority wins. I'm like, let me just play one, and then I'll read the verse of today. So no, yeah. And it happens, it happens. I was like, okay, I have an hour break. I can play 20 minutes of my game, and then I have 10 minutes to actually, let me play three games, and then I give 10 minutes for the verse. It's like, no, you can't do that. And that's when God kicks in, like, are you seriously going to do that? But with my fights with God, he always wins. With those arguments, it's like, yeah, you always win. Why am I bothering? It's like, let's read. Because that really fulfills you. And it's happened to me a thousand times, because you go through so many problems, you go through so many tribulations, and the word of God gives you peace. Because then you know his promises. Because you're going through an awful problem, you're having an awful day, and then you read a verse and it's like, I will be with you, I will protect you, no matter where you go to. Like, oh my gosh, yeah, why am I worrying? It's in your hands, I can't do anything, but you can do everything. It's all in your hands. And that's what Job had at the beginning. That's why when he lost his kids, he lost everything he had. All he did was like, I think he shaved his head, fell on the ground, like, praise the Lord. Because God has given me, and now he's taken it away. Because he knew who God was. And we have to have in mind that he is faithful. Sometimes we have the image of God being like a human, be like, oh, Jesus, come on, God, this is a mistake. Why are you doing this? I know, you just made a mistake. Everything is going to be. No, he doesn't make mistakes. He's God. Don't try to compare him to a human. When we make mistakes all the time, no, he doesn't. Everything he does in your life is to shape your heart the way he wants you to be, and it's for good. So it's really important how the communion he had with the divine, with God. I mean, I think that really helped him out to go through every single thing he went, even if sometimes he was like, just like, oh my gosh. Because here in verse 29, you hear him say all the things that, oh my gosh, I was this and I was that, and everyone had respect for me. But what you can't read is verse 28 when he says, God is everything. God is in control of every single thing in our world. And it's like, but you said in chapter 28 that he's in control of everything in your life. And in verse 29 and 30, you're like, oh, but this, and I have so many. How many times has that happened to us? Because we come here to church on Sunday, like, praise God. Praise God, praise the Lord. He is amazing with us. He is our Lord. He's our Father. He's going to provide for us. He's going to be with us in every single moment of our lives. And then on Monday, I have a problem, and like, oh. And we totally forgot Sunday. Come on, a day ago, you were saying that he was in control of everything. And now you are depressed because you have a problem? Isn't that problem in his hands? Isn't your God greater than that problem? Why are you worrying? We just forget. And I think the major part of forgetting is because we don't read the Bible. And as it says in his word, meditate. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, do it day and night, so that you may be careful to do accordingly to all that is written, for then you will have good success. So it's all our mistakes. I mean, sometimes we just don't want to read. We want to be happy. We want to have no problems. We want to be in peace, but we just don't read the Bible. It's like, but I'm letting you. God's like, I'm telling you to read the Bible. That will help you. Help yourself. Come on, just read it. But we just don't have time sometimes. We have priorities which are supposed to be more important when they shouldn't be. And we do it on ourselves. God wants us the best for us, but we just do it on ourselves. We don't read it. It's like when a father tells his kids, like, don't do that. It's going to be wrong. Or listen to your father all the time while he says something because he knows he's lived more. And you're like, yeah, but I want to make the mistake anyways. I'm like, okay. Just don't come back to me crying because you did it, because it was your decision. I mean, and that's the same with us. We don't read the Bible. We don't know what he wants from us. Because trust me, in all my life, there's not one problem that I haven't seen the solution in this book. Not one. You can find, name the problem you have, a disease, tribulation, someone died. Every single person here in this book went through a situation kind of like sort of yours. So you will find the answer. You just have to look for it. You just have to look for it. And it's not like Google will be like, hey, just give me the solution. No, you have to read it. And you have to meditate in it. And that's why I like, because it's not only reading. Sometimes we do it. I know, for example, I have an alert every single day for me to read my devotional. But I feel like sometimes I'm just reading it. I don't meditate on it. I don't say, God, okay, talk to me today. What do you want from me? What do you want to tell me today? I'm like, okay, I'm just, you know, I just want to have the check at the end of the day on my alert. I read it today. So it's like, no, I'm doing it on myself. So it's really important. It's really important to actually meditate in the Word of God, which really helps us out. The fourth point is going to be the assurance he had of the divine presence. And I don't know how much of an assurance do you have of his divine presence in your life. He has his protection, but do you have in mind every single time that every single minute of your life, he is with you, no matter what you're doing? You're with your friends, you're laughing at people, he is with you. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing, he is with you. Every single moment of your life, do not forget that. Because that helps me out so much. Because when I'm with my coworkers and they're laughing at things, jokes, I'm like, they're not going to, I mean, he's with me. How am I going to react to that? And he's just still looking at you. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be like everyone else? Or are you going to be the light that I sent you to be? Are you going to be the difference? Are they going to say like, hey, you know what? Robert is different. Christian is different. Matt is different. Oh my gosh, they don't care what other people think about them. They just want to know what I think about them. And they want to do my will. So he is with you no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are. His presence in your life is assured all the time. And having his presence, sometimes we take things in our hands. Which happens a lot sometimes. We ask God to do different things in our lives, and what ends up happening is that we see a shortcut. So God says, go this way, and you would get to your destiny. I'm like, but this one is a shortcut. I can, like, wave around. It's going to be more fun, shorter, less problems. It's like, I'm telling you, go straight. Don't go to the left, and then to the right again, then to the left to make it straight. Just go straight. Do what I'm saying. No, I think you're wrong. I think I'm right. Let me just do it. And we end up doing that. And at the end of the day, we suffer the consequences. It's more difficult because we didn't obey him. And how many times have we seen sometimes when we actually obey him, and then we're like, oh my gosh, if I would have done that, I would have been so much problems. Like, oh my gosh. And it's happened so many times for me. Because especially in sales, in my experience, it's like people just want you to sell anything. Like I have a Mini Cooper with 200,000 miles, and it's like, hey, it's going to run until 300,000 miles. No, it's not. It's really hard to actually do what God commands you to do, be truthful. Because, I've seen it so many times when just people just want to sell cars, be like, hey, just get this car. And God, no, I can't do that. My God is first, and I have to obey God first, and then the people that are over me in authority in my work, because my God is first. So if you come to me and I show you a car that's 300,000 miles, we don't sell cars with that mileage, but I'm not going to tell you, hey, this is the best car for you. I am not going to tell you that, because my God is first, and my God doesn't want me to lie, doesn't want me, because I want to make money, just do whatever I had to do. And I've seen a lot of times where there's something called, for example, straw purchases, when you can't finance a vehicle that's going to be driven by another customer. And I've seen a lot of people just do it because it's money for their pockets. But is it worth it? God is with me right now at that moment. He's like, are you going to do this? This is wrong. You are going to sell this car. You are going to make money. But are you willing to put money over my will? And that's when it's like, no, I can't do this. I'm so sorry. I can't sell you this car. And then someone comes to you, is like, why didn't you sell the car? It's like, because it wasn't the right thing to do. But everyone does it. I'm not everyone. I'm God's son. He wants me to be this way. I want to make him proud. That's what you have to think every single day. I want to make him proud. Today's a new day. You know what? I'm going to start in his presence, and I'm going to make him proud. At the end of the day, God is going to be like, that's my son. Like he did with Job. Have you seen Job? Oh my gosh. He's amazing. Have you seen everyone from Gateway? They're amazing. They're so committed to God. They so love God. Oh my gosh. They are different. And trust me, you see that so many people see you a difference in you. And not for you to be like, oh, look at me. No, because as I said once, you're looking at me, but I'm pointing to God, because all I am and all I have is thanks to him. I would walk a desert in his presence and have everything I don't need, be rich, I don't know. I would prefer his presence. And people's going to see that in your life and be like, oh my gosh, you're different. I want that. I want that. And it's happened to me before where people's like, you know what? What do you do? Like, what do you do to be happy? Like, I just have God in my life. And praise the Lord. Never, that's also really important. Never accidentally like, no, I'm just myself. You know what? Always try to praise the Lord. Give him the glory. Because if it weren't for him, you wouldn't know where we were. I wouldn't know if I would be still standing here if it weren't for God. So I'm going to give him the glory of everything I do in my life. If someone says, hey, wow, you got out of a car accident, that's amazing. How did you do it? God. I won't say I was lucky. The airbags. Yeah, it was the airbags. Amazing car. The best car. Just buy a Rogue. No. God saved me that day. God saved me yesterday. And I'm going to praise God for every single thing I do in this life, because he's in control of my life. And we have his favor. Just like Job went through so many problems, and he was like, you know what? It's God. And they were like, no, you sinned. You must have done something. No. It's God's will. Why should we understand something that God intends to happen? His ways are higher than ours. How many things do we don't know, like how happened? Like, it's crazy, because I had the other day, I was just listening to a sermon, and he was telling how many liters of water we have in this ball. We are in a ball that's rotating. We have so many cells in our bodies, and we're just around the sun, and we don't have anything that's holding us there. But and then we have a universe, and then it's like, you have to have more faith to actually believe in the Big Bang than actually believe in God. And I have the faith to believe in God. It's like, oh my gosh, everything is working so perfectly that how can I not believe in him? so his presence in your life, no matter what situation you go through. And in Job 29, actually we can see, it's kind of long, actually Job 30. He starts saying all how people start laughing about him. It's like, hey, people that were actually, they had respect towards him before, and now they're just like, look at him. They're just laughing at him, mocking him. And then he's like, oh my gosh, why? How many times has that happened to us when we give more priority to what other people think about us than what God thinks about us? Shouldn't that be not important? Why should we listen to what people have to say when you know you're obeying God? Why? Why would we give it the importance of over what God thinks about it? And it's happened to me, because sometimes you just want to fit in the group. You just want to be like everyone else and be like, hang on, like, my friends are there, like, haha, and they're, like, all cussing and everything. And I'm like, yeah, I feel uncomfortable, but I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm not going to cuss, but I'm just going to be here and standing. No. And they're like, but why don't you talk like us? Come on, be like us. Or they're talking about a girl, like, look at that girl. I'm like, oh, no. And then we actually, I'm like, okay, what are they thinking about me? And they start mocking you. And then we give them a huge importance, and all of a sudden we're depressed. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Why should that be important when God is the one that's providing for you? Why should that be important when God is the one that's loving you every single day? And this is what Job is doing right here. He's just like, oh my gosh, they're laughing about me. I helped their kids and now they're just mocking me. And they're like, why, Job? Why are you worried about what other people have to say about you when you're actually obeying God? Shouldn't that be more important? Shouldn't it be more important to obey God, to obey your father, than to be like the rest and just be like one person else from like everyone? Like, yeah, you're just part of the world. No. As I said, let's go back to the part of making your father proud. And then, so here, Job just goes to all these people and like he listens what they say. He doesn't go to God. How many times has it happened when you have a problem, you have different circumstances, and the first thing you do is actually go to a person. Like, hey, I have this problem, how can you help me out? And you go to a person that doesn't know nothing about God, therefore is not going to give you a godly response. Why are you doing that? Who should be the first person you go to? Your father, God. No matter what circumstances you are, do not, even if it's a Christian, no. Go first to God. He is in control of every single circumstance. The other person may give you a godly response of how to do things if he's a Christian, but isn't God more important? Like when you have a problem at home, when you're a kid and, I don't know, you did something at school, you shouldn't go tell your friend because he can't do anything about it. The one that's going to, at the end of the day, deal with the problem is going to be your parents. So why are you going to your friends? They can't do anything. Go to your parents. Same thing is with God. If you're going through a situation, don't go to any person. Go first to God. And if you want to go first to God and you don't have time to pray, read a book. Read the Bible. Just say, Lord, it's happened to me, trust me. And it's amazing, one of those things when you say, it's a coincidence, no, it's a blessing, it's just God's presence. When you're like going through a problem, like, okay, God, I'm going to open the Bible, and I'm going to read a chapter. Talk to me, please. I'm here in presence, I want to hear you. And if you do with all your heart, trust me, it's happened to me. I've opened the Bible, and I've seen verses, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're talking to me. And I just start crying. And if I was worried before, now I'm all peace. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I just needed to remember that I'm in your presence. Yeah, you talk to me right now, and I'm in your presence. Like, I'm good. I don't have to bother about other people talking about me, what they say, what I do, criticizing me. And it's really important to actually count your blessings during that. Because we tend to do is our problems. We magnify our problems right now. Like, I'm sure, trust me, I'm sure a few weeks from now I'm going to have a problem. And I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm in this problem and I don't know what to do. And I will forget that one day I was in a car accident and God was with me and he protected me. Like, I know I'm going to forget it because I'm human. And it happens to me too. And I'm like, and you start counting your problems and not your blessings. If you would only consider the blessings that God's give you. Just think for a minute. All the things you have. Not material. Your family. You have a house. Have a shelter. You have a car. Have a job. People that love you. Sometimes you take everything for granted until you don't have it. You should appreciate everything that God gives you and count the blessings and not the problems. Because I know that the blessings you have, I know that having a t-shirt right now is more important than, I don't know, any other problem. You count every single thing. Just start counting. How many things do you have on yourself? Each one of those things is a blessing. Because he provided for you to buy that for yourself. I don't know how many things I have on right now. It's like, okay, I have one problem right now, which is the car. But look how many. One, I have my job. Have my wife. She's okay. Her health is perfect. Have my family. Oh my gosh, why am I worrying about a car? It's in God's hands. I can't do anything. He'll do everything for me. So count your blessings. Just like Job. I mean, at this point, he just forgot of all his blessings, and he just started complaining. And I know we will get to the point to complain, because trust me, everyone complains about their problems. I've complained about my problems. Alejandro, he told us a week ago about how he was complaining about what happened to his son, and we'll see a testimony right here. I'll show you guys a testimony that was amazing, and the more you're giving to God, the more you give to God, the more you give your life to him, doesn't mean you will not be touched by problems. It does not mean that. At my church, I'm going to tell you, my one pastor, when I was in Ecuador, my one pastor, he lost his wife on a surgery. After he lost his wife during the surgery, he went and hugged the doctor. And he said, I forgive you. Because I know you didn't go into that surgery wanting to kill my wife. Then he got married again. And God has been with him. And he would always say, if God didn't take me away, like, if all these problems didn't take me away from God, nothing can. So have in mind, no matter what problem you go through, if someone passes away, have in mind that God is first. God is perfect. He does not make mistakes. Everything happens for his reasons. Not for a reason, his reasons. And it is not for us to understand why it happens. At the end of the day, we will see the full picture. But at that time, we will not understand. So as I said, his wife died. The second pastor, she had a brain tumor. She is the most loving person in that church. Oh my gosh, I have never remembered a day where I didn't see her at church and she wasn't smiling. It was amazing. And she brought my mom to God. She was one of those ladies that were really persistent and like, hey, come on, let's go to the Bible study. Hey, come on, let's go. And my mom was like, are you serious? Come on, I'm tired. I don't want to go. And then my mom would complain and she would be like, oh, this lady doesn't stop calling me. You know how thankful she is today because of her? Because now she knows God. And while she was going through, it was all perfect. She was bringing people to God, to Christ. And then she got a brain tumor. And all of a sudden, everyone in church was like, oh my gosh, why her? The most loving person in that church had a brain tumor. And when I heard last week Alejandro's miracle, that came to my mind. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah, we think our problems are great. Look at those problems. And look at how God can do miracles in those lives. And then he gets the glory. It's amazing. Let's not prejudge. Let's not say, like, why, God? Why? No. Okay, what for? What's it going to be for? I know you have a purpose for this. I know you're going to be glorified. I know you, dear Lord. So let's be thankful with God every single day. For now, I want to put that testimony of, her name is Marta, on the screen. And it's going to be in Spanish, so I'll translate the parts. Even if you're fighting 1,000 battles inside you, God has the power to do everything in your life. November 15 of 2015, I had a brain tumor, and I had 4 surgeries. November 30 was my first surgery. July 17th was my second surgery. February 2nd was my third surgery. Getting ready for my fourth surgery. May 17th of 2017 was my fourth surgery. The easy part, I already did it. The hard, I am doing it. And the impossible, God is doing it. June 16th, I had a strong fall in my health. God gives you the strength. When your mind says quit, your heart says try it one more time. I was getting ready for my first surgery when God started making his miracle. The day of my surgery, the lab tests weren't the same with the other ones that I had. The doctor said he was going to try one more time with the strong medication. Cry if you have to cry, but after you cry, smile, because God is with you and he's held in your hand. He cried with me, even if I couldn't see him. La cruz está ante mí. Finally, God kept his promise, and 2 years later, I am healthy. Like Jeremiah 29:11 says, "Because I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of peace, not of harmful." No matter tend, no matter what circumstances you're going through, just have in mind God is in control of everything. Like Job did, he knew. I know he complained, and you may complain, because we are human, and sometimes we just don't understand the things that happen to us. But at the end of the day, just have in mind, if you have to cry, cry. And know at the end of the day that God is in control of everything, and that you are not alone, and you are never going to be alone. If you can close your eyes in prayer today, please. We thank you, dear Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word, for you give us hope, dear Lord, no matter what circumstances we're going through, no matter what problems. We count with your presence, dear Lord, which is more important than anything in our lives. Nothing can be compared to you. You will protect us no matter what we go through. Even if we don't have anything, all we need is you, dear Lord. We do only need you. We ask for your presence to fulfill our hearts today. We thank you for this day and for the supper that we're about to be with your presence, dear Lord. I ask you to bless everyone here on our way home and to protect us, dear Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.